Today's shiur is Masechet Beis Daf Yud Aleph, and we're going to begin on Daf Yud Amud Beis, on the first wide line. We had learned in the Mishnah that if somebody had designated three birds, or Matzo Shnaim, and then he finds two birds, Mutarim, we assume that the two birds that are left are from the original two that were designated. Ask the Gemara, Lema Masnisin Rabbi Hivalur Rabbanim. Perhaps our Mishnah coincides with what Rebbe learned and not the way Rebbana learned. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa in Masechta Pesachim. Hiniach mana or Matz Masayim. We know that Halach is that in the third year and the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, Maisa Sheni has to be designated from produce. However, that produce can be redeemed on money. So let's say someone had in his drawer $100 coin of Maisa Sheni. That Maisa Sheni was redeemed on a coin. The halacha is that Maisa Sheni could only be redeemed on a coin. It can't be redeemed on a dollar bill. Umatz Masayim, and then he finds $200 bills. Says Rebbe, Chula Maisa Sheni Murabim Zebazeh, Divi Rebbe. Rebbe assumes that those $200 coins, one is the original $100 coin, and there's another $100 coin that was put there inadvertently, which is chulin. The chum hold hakel chulin. That we assume that both $100 coins are chulin, because what happened to the first $100 coin? So the way the mefarshim explained the Gemara, the chacham hold that the first money just didn't disappear. What must have happened is somebody took out the first money and replaced it with chulin money. Ask Tosfos. It's a Sofik Daraisa. Maisa Sheni is Daraisa. So how could we be Mekel? How could the Rabbanon be Mekel? So two answers are given. One answer is that we're dealing with Maisa Sheni Drabbanon, and since we're dealing with Maisa Sheni Drabbanon, Sofik Drabbanon Lekula. Another answer given is that even though we, and this is a very important concept, that even though we know that we're Machmer by Daraisa, we just are not Machmer without any rhyme or reason. Where everything points to being Mekel, we're going to be Mekel. Here, everything points to be Mekel. If the person wouldn't mix Meiser and Chulin, it must be that he removed the Meiser and replaced it with Chulin. The Chassam Sofer explains Rebbe's position. The Rabbanon makes sense. People wouldn't mix. So, Chassam Sofer explains probably what happened here, and he reads it right into Rashi very nicely, is that the person started with a $100 coin that was Meiser. Then he brought another $100 coin, which is chulin. Those two coins are not identical. So the person relied that he would be able to tell which is the maisa, which is the chulin. But as human nature goes, he doesn't remember exactly which is which, and that's why he's now confused. Rashi and Tosfos also discuss what would you do according to Rebbe. So Rashi says, what we would do is we have these two coins, one according to Rebbe's maisa, one is not. We take the better of the two coins, because in those days coins were looked at how they looked, not just a dollar bill is a dollar bill, no matter what condition it's in, and say, if this is the Meiser coin, fine. If it's not the Meiser coin, let the non-Meiser be redeemed on this Meiser coin and treat the better coin as Meiser. Tosfos, the way the Pnei Yeshua explains Tosfos, is dissatisfied with that approach, because Tosfos says we can't redeem one coin on another coin, if they're both of the same type, if they're both silver, for example. So Tosfos says what we would do is take one of the coins, redeem it on copper coins, that is acceptable, and then go back and have that redeemed on the other coin. What about the other case? Hiniach Masayim, he left $200 coins, or Matzah Mana, and then he finds a $100 coin. So again, according to Rebbe, Manach Mana, Mana Mana, Mana munach, mana muta. Divrei Rebbe. We say the $100 coin is the one that was Meiser all along, and the other one somehow disappeared. Money doesn't just disappear. So here too, our Gemara is saying that if we start off with three designated birds, and we're left with two, we say those are the two originally designated. But the Rabbanan say they're not. So is our Mishnah going like Rebbe, not the Rabbanan? And the question is that we always go with Rabbanan, now with the Rebbe. Answers the Gemara, Filtem Rabbanan. Our Mishnah, even the Rabbanan would agree to. Why? because Hayit Malah Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar the Amri Tavayu Shani Gezalos Hayil Vasuin Ladadis. You can't compare birds to money. Money doesn't go anywhere. Birds separate, and therefore, by birds, we could say that there were three birds originally. One moved away, and the two remained. Ask the Gemara. Why do we have to say this teretz? It's a nice teretz. But ask the Gemara, why do we have to say it? In regarding this machlokes of Rebbe and Rabbanon, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar come to find that machlokes. And it's the same Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar that we have saying that you can't compare birds to money. Chad Omer once said, when do Rebbe and the Rabbanon disagree? B'shnei kisen machlokes. That when we had two wallets, that's when there's machlokes. Avakis echot, if all of the money was in one wallet, in one purse, because their Rebbe will agree that the first purse had $200 and that a second purse has $100. Or vice versa, something, it's not the original purse. V'chad Omer, and one of these mandomer, Rabbi Yochanan and Belazar, say, b'kis echad machlokes, if they are in one purse, there's a machlokes. Abishnei kisim, if we started with two purses, and now we're down to one purse, everybody will agree, mona munach, monach mutal. The one purse was taken away, and one purse remains, because the two purses are two separate entities. So explains the Gemara its question. Bishlam mandam b'shnei kisin machloikis. The mandam that says that even by two purses, there's a machloikis, where we started with two purses, and one disappears. One is no longer there. Rebbe holds that we say that the original purse is, the purse that remains is the original purse, and the Rabbanan say that the purse remains is not necessarily the original purse. So now I can understand why we have a question. The Rabbanan say we start with two purses and one is no longer there. We have to assume that even the one that remains is not the original purse. Yet now Mishnah we learned that we start with three birds and we're down to two. We do assume that those two birds that are here are the original two birds. So the Gemara's question is very legitimate. It doesn't seem that our Mishnah is going with Rabbanan, and that's why the Gemara says you can't compare money to birds. Birds move around. That's why the Gemara had it say you can't compare birds to money because birds hoyim v'suin ledadois, birds move. However, asked the Gemara, the machloikis between Rebbe and Rabbanan is only when you started off with one purse. Avo b'shnei kisin, had you started off with two purses, and now you come back and you only find one purse. Both the Rebbe and the Rabbanan divrei hakol manach munach umana moto. Everybody will agree that what you started with is what you ended with. So ask the Gemara. Why does the Gemara have to come and give us a teretz that you can't compare birds to money? If by money that are in two purses, and we start with two purses, and we end up with one purse, everybody agrees that we assume that that purse is from the original purse. So by birds we should say the same. So why did the Gemara, and it's the same land Amrim, it's either Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Elazar, have to come up with a new teretz, Shani Gezolus, Hoyel Vesuin Ledadois, you don't have to say the teretz. It's the exact same. Amr of Ashi, so Rav Ashi answers, Hocho, Begzolus Mekisharim, Vekisim Mekisharim Askinim. The man Amrim that says that there is no machloikis by two purses will say, what's going to be the halacha when you have two purses that are similar to one purse? What does it mean, two purses that are similar to one purse? When the two purses are tied together. Hocha, b'gezolus mekusharim, the birds are tied together, and the purses are tied together. So, gezolus, birds, even if they're tied together, by nature, will separate themselves. Gezolus menascha adodi, they separate themselves. Kisim, they don't separate. That's why the Rabbanan hold that if you start with two purses and you end with one purse, but if the two purses that you started with were tied together and now you end up with one purse, it must be it's not that from that original purse. Because purses don't just separate themselves. So it must be that those two purses that were mice and money are somewhere else, I don't know where, and this purse that I have now is a different purse. By birds, even though I started with three birds tied together, birds by nature separate themselves. So if I have three birds tied together and now I have two birds, I could say that those are the two original birds. Rebbe Amalach, Rebbe says that birds and kisen, birds and purses are the same. Kisen nami demisachli katrayu. Even by purses are not by definition could separate themselves. So even though we started with the two purses tied together, and now I only find one purse, it still could be one of the original purses. What happened? The knot came apart. The same by the bird, and that purse is the original purse. The same thing by the bird. Certainly that bird could be the original bird. It was tied together. Birds separate themselves. So we learned in the Mishnah, B'toichakan l'fneikan, if we designated birds inside the nest, and now we find birds in front of the nest, asurim, everybody agrees that those birds are asur. Says the Gemara, Lame Messiah Reb Chanina. Should our Mishnah be approved to Reb Chanina? We spoke about Reb Chanina in the previous year. Dar Reb Chanina, Roy V'Karav, Halach Achar Roy. Again, to review what happened here. We designated birds in the nest. Yontav in the morning we come, there's nothing in the nest. We find birds in front of the nest. So there's two possibilities. Those birds that are in front of the nest are from birds that are from the whole wide world. The majority of birds in the world I didn't designate. Or it could be the birds that were in the nest, went out, and are now standing in front of the nest. If we put that into halachic terms, do we follow the roiv, the majority of birds that are in the world, or do we follow the karev, the birds that were in the nest? Our Mishnah seems to say that we follow the majority of birds in the world. Says the Gemara, this is a question that Rav Chanina posed, that when given a challenge, do we follow the roiv, do we follow the karev? Seems that we follow the roiv. So should our Mishnah be approved to Rav Chanina? Lema. So we say that our Mishnah is Messiah Rav Chanina, Dama Rav Chanina, when posed with two opposing halachic principles, one, not posing, but they in certain cases they can pose each other. Roiv v'karev, like in our case, halachach ha-roiv, we should follow the majority. Am Rabbaya b'daf. Here we're dealing that there's a platform in front of the nest. Birds from all over rest on that platform. So even karev tells me that I should assume that this is a bird that's not from the nest, it's from all over the world. Rav Amma, Rav doesn't agree with a biased position. So Rav says a different pshat in the Mishnah. Why? So soon we'll say a different pshat, but the Menachem Eshev Nefesh says a beautiful explanation why Rav didn't like a biased pshat. In the previous year, the Gemara explained the first case of the Mishnah, when we had white birds, we designated white birds, and then we found black, and vice versa. So the Mishnah already explained that it's talking b'daf, that there's a platform in front. So says Menachem Eshev Nefesh in explaining Rava, we already explained that our Mishnah is talking about a platform. So if the Mishnah again here has to be speaking about a platform, why does the Mishnah have to say the same thing twice? So must be that this case that the Mishnah is referring to is a different situation. What is the situation? We're dealing with Shnei Kanim Zulam Alamazu. We're dealing with two nests, one atop of the other. The Loimibayi explains Rava. Certainly, Zimim B'tachtoinu V'lei Zimim B'elyoinu. If somebody designated the birds in the bottom nest and did not designate the birds in the upper nest, or Motz B'tachtoinu, and he now comes Yontav in the morning, he finds birds in the bottom nest, V'lei Motz B'elyoinu, but the birds that were in the upper nest are no longer there. That's Sweden. That we certainly assume that the birds are now in the lower nest are Osir. Why? That meaning Hanach Ozla Alma, that the birds that were originally here left, for Hanach, and the birds that were originally in the upper nest, Ishtervuvi Ishtarviv, lower themselves down, Vinochis. And that's why they're in the lower nest, and those birds weren't designated. Because as we learned, and we'll speak about this a lot now, Tosfos and Daf Tes told us that the birds we're discussing here are birds that can't fly. Because you can't designate birds that can fly because they're anyway muksa because you're not allowed to trap birds on Yontif. So we're talking about birds that can only walk down. Ella says the Gemara. Rava tells us that the Mishnah is teaching us. Zimim bel yoinon. He designated birds in the upper nest. Zimim betachtona, he didn't designate birds in the bottom nest. And now Yontif, in the morning I come and I find birds in the upper nest. However, there are no longer any birds in the bottom nest. So I say the birds on the upper nest are also. That means, because we're concerned, the birds that were in the upper nest flew away, And the ones up in the lower nest, even though it's not so easy for them, traveled up. So now, how can we explain Rava? The way we could explain Rava, the Mefarshim say, the Shita says this, is that Abaya didn't want to get involved with the question that when faced with a dilemma, do we follow Roiv or Karev? So he sort of explained the Mishnah that Roiv and Karev point in the same direction. Rava, on the other hand, wants to say that the Mishnah is teaching us that we always follow Karev. And that's why the Mishnah is defined in a case with a lower nest, which or the upper nest, which wasn't designated. We have to be concerned that since it's close, and maybe those birds ended up in the other nest, and that's why it's Karev and we're Machmer. Then we learned, Vimsham Elohim, if in the nest there were only these birds, there were no other birds in this vicinity, Harei El Matarim, and that even if we come Yontav in the morning and we don't find the birds actually in the nest, we find them in front of the nest, we could be Mekel. Ask the Gemara, Hey Chidami, what kind of birds are we discussing? If we're discussing birds that fly, Ikla Neima, why are we not concerned? Hanach Ozul Amma, Fahani Achrinaninu. That these birds that I originally designated flew away, and the birds I now find in the morning are different birds. So all the Rishonim ask, we just explained, we quoted Tosfos and Daf Tes, that our Gemara is discussing birds that can't fly. Because birds that could fly can't go anywhere. We can't designate because there's a problem of Tzeda. So I saw three different answers to this question. The Rashba says, when the Gemara here says Mufarachim, it doesn't mean that they can actually fly. It means that they can move away, but they can't go actually fly, because the fly, they're not subject to designation. The Bach says that we're discussing domesticated birds, and domesticated birds, Chiddush La'alocha, even though they can fly, will always stay by their nest. That's their home. They stay at home, even though they can fly. The Shiltei Gebayrim says a very big Chiddush. He says, yes, these birds can fly. But the Shiltei Gebayrim says, if I designate a bird, even though it could fly, my designation is effective. The Pais can pass on like the Rajva. Hey Chidami, Ilay Mefrochim Ikal Meimah, why are we not concerned? Hanach Ozlu La'alma, the original birds flew away, and these are different birds that are non-designated. We're talking about birds that can't fly, they can only walk. Ask the Gemara. If there's another nest within 50 amas, aduya dadi. So then we should be concerned that these original birds, these originally designated birds, move to those, and the birds that we find are non-designated from the other nest. If there is no other nest within 50 amas, ask them pshita matarim, because birds that can't fly can't walk more than 50 amas. Says the Gemara, Domam Amarok Bachama, Kol Medada, a bird that can do no more than walking, Ein Medada Yosem Chamishim amas, cannot walk more than 50 amas. Says the Gemara, La'olam Dikakam B'Toy Chamishim amas. We have to explain that the Mishnah is teaching us that there's another nest within 50 amas. Ask the Gemara if there's another nest within 50 amas, so why am I so quick to be Mako? Why are we not concerned that these birds are from the other nest and these birds left? Says the Gemara, the Mishnah is teaching us the following din. Kigoyin the Kaim Karen's office. The two nests are within 50 amas, but you have to turn a corner, as we see in the diagram in Rashi. Madatayim, so we would say, since they're within 50 amas of each other, Edudi Adadi, the birds travel. Kamash Malon teaches us the Mishnah. Kol Heicha the Medada, V'chada V'chaz L'kina Medada, V'loy Medada. When will one bird travel to another nest, if it's in 50 amas, if it can always see its original nest? If it can no longer see its original nest, even though it's within 50 amas, it won't travel. And that's the din the Mishnah is teaching us. That we designated birds in one nest. There is another nest within 50 amas. So why am I not concerned that the original birds went away and these birds that I have are the non-designated birds? Because these two nests, although they're within 50 amas, one nest can't see each other, and the Mishnah teaches us if they can't see each other, they're not going to walk to each other. Says the Mishnah, we discussed this in the previous year. An ali was some sort of a board that was used to chop grain. And Beshame says, we're not allowed to take it, even though I want to use it for permitted use, to chop meat. And again, we have to understand when we learn this Mishnah, we'll discuss this more Mitzvah Shem in the future Shurim, that even though on Yontif, Eichel Nefesh is permitted, that doesn't mean you're allowed to do everything. Grinding wheat is prohibited. So this utensil is used for grinding wheat. So Beis Shammai says, I can't even use it for chopping meat. So there's a fundamental machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos, very relevant, la'aloch la'maisa, and how to understand this Mishnah. Rashi explains that this ali is a kli shemalach d'lisser. Its primary designation is to be used for something you're not allowed to do in Yontif. But Beis Hillel is teaching us that a kli shemalach d'lisser, if you're going to use it with tzarech gufoy, if you're going to use it for permitted use, is acceptable. What's the classic example? The classic example is a hammer. A hammer is a kli shemalach d'lisser. It's used to build. You're not allowed to build Shabbos Yontif. But if you want to take a hammer to crack nuts, it's fine. That's why Beis Hillel is matter. However, Tosfos is troubled with this approach for two obvious reasons. Number one, this is an old din. The kli shemalach d'lisser, you're allowed to move letzarech gufoy mekayimai. What's Beis Hillel teaching us? Furthermore, why is Beis Shammai machmer? That's why Tosfos says that an ali is muksa machmes chsaron kis. Muksa machmes chsaron kis, you're never allowed to move. And Beis Hillel is teaching us a very big chiddush, that muksa machmes chsaron kis, even though normally may not be used, if it's the simchas yontif, we may move it. It's a very nice pshat. How are we going to explain Rashi? How are we going to explain Beis Shammai? So one approach that's given by the Rishonim is that Beis Shammai does not hold that a kli shemalach d'lisser may be used l'tzarech gufoy. It's actually Rav Nechemya Masechta Shabbos. And that's the machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. But I saw the Meiri has a very nice approach. And maybe we'll learn the Gemara with the Meiri's approach. The Meiri tells us that what Beis Shammai says is, even though a kli shemalach d'lisser may be used l'tzarech gufoy mekayimai, if it's a tircha, if it's a big schlep of the dechol, it looks like I'm doing a weekday job, there, even a kli shemalach d'lisser can't be used l'tzarech gufoy. And that, says the Meiri, according to Rashi, is the machloikis of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says, kli shemalach d'lisser, l'tzarech gufoy may be moved. Beis Shammai says, only if it's not of the dechol. If it's of the dechol, even though it's a kli shemalach d'lisser, it may not be moved. Another din. Beis Shammai remi enois nis olif ne'adarsen, v'lo yag bi'eno, elm ken yeshimai kezayis basar, v'silamatirin. As we discussed in the previous year, you're allowed to slaughter, you're allowed to shecht on yontif. But when they shechted meat, when they shechted an animal those days, so they couldn't put the leather, in the hide, into a refrigerator. There were no refrigerators. So, and on the other hand, if you do any melacha with the leather, with the hide, there's an isser of ma'abed, tanning. So, as the Meiri again explains, there are two concerns here. One is that the leather is muksa, the hide is muksa. That's why Beis Shammai says, unless there's a kezayis, a basar, which is not muksa, you can't move the leather. Beis Hillel is mekel, because of simchas yontif. Otherwise, a person is not going to want a shecht, as we'll learn in the Gemara. And the other concern is that now that you are moving it, if you put it down to be trampled, so it's ma'abid. The trampling is the way you work with the leather. So Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to do it, and Beis Hillel is mekel. Tana says the Gemara, the Shavin, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree, Shem Kosev Alav Basar, that if you ground meat already with this ali, Shos L'Tatlai, now you're not allowed to move it. So again, according to both explanations that we gave, we could understand. According to Tosfos' explanation, it's a kli shemalach d'lisser. It could only be moved as long as I need it. Once I finish using it, I can't move it. According to Rashi, even though it's a kli shemalach d'lisser, and it may be used l'tzarech gufoy, that's as long as I need to use it. Now I finished my job, I can't use it anymore. Amar Abaye, says Abaye, machlokes bali, machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel with this wheat grinder, av b'taver gamri, a utensil that was used to cut meat, d'rakol mutter. Everybody agrees that that may be moved on Shabbos. Ask the Marpshita. That's obvious, ali t'nan. The Mishnah says that we're talking about ali. Where would I think the taver gamri is included? Answers the Gemara, ma'adatayma. I would perhaps say, who adin dafilu taver gamri nami? Even by this meat shopper, Beis Shammai is machmer. Again, why? Because the Meiri tells us that anything that's over the dechol, Beis Shammai wants us to stay away from. So why did the Mishnah only choose to talk about Ali? V'hai d'tani Ali, like the Yachad Koichin Beis Hillel. The Mishnah wanted to teach us how far Beis Hillel is Mekel. The filu Dovah Shemlach Del Isser, not only a Tavra Gamri, but even an Ali, which is Dovah Shemlach Del Isser, Nami Sharu, may be moved. Kamashmo and the Beshami agrees on a Tavra Gamri. Ikadamri, and Rashi tells us a very interesting thing. Usually in Shas, when we have an Ikadamri, it's a second version that doesn't agree with the first version. Here Rashi says the Ikadamri is not disagreeing. The Ikadamri is really coming to answer the question. The question was that we're saying that a Tavra Gamri, Beshami agrees, may be moved. Ask the Gemara, why not? Says the Ikadamri, I'll tell you why not. We're talking about a new meat shopper. Maybe Beshami will say that we shouldn't let him move this new meat shopper, because once he picks it up, he'll see it's not what he wants. He'll see that he doesn't want to use it, and therefore he shouldn't be allowed to touch it. Kamash malon. That even Beshami is not concerned for that. Ask the Gemara, or Beshami v'chayish lemluchay, is Beshami not concerned that a person will change his mind? V'tanya, Beshami oimrim, ein malichin tavach v'sava sakin etzel behema. The shaychit and the knife may not walk to an animal on yontif. For behema etzel tavach v'sakin. Nor can you bring the animal to the shaychit with his knife. Beshami oimrim malichin zetzel, Beshami says you may. Beshami oimrim, ein malichin tavach v'moduch etzel meduka. You can't bring the spices and the chopper to the grinder. Why did Beshami say you're not allowed to? Because he's concerned that you may bring it and then change your mind. So you see that Beshami is concerned that you'll change your mind. So the Ra explains that when Beshami says that you're not allowed to take the shoichet and the knife, really what Beshami is focusing on is on the knife, not on the shoichet. Because the halach is that any human being on Yontif can walk wherever he wants as long as it's within the tchum. The emphasis here is on the knife. Also, the Rishonim disagree when we say that you can't carry it. Does it mean even if they're all in Rishus HaYochid? Or does it mean only from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim? But here we see that Beshami is concerned that a person may change his mind, and that's why he can't carry the knife. That's why he can't carry the grinder. So why is he not concerned by the meat grinder? You can't compare the cases. Bishlam behema oslam luchi. If somebody comes with his knife to the behema, he may change his mind. Dama nishbak hai behema kshkusha. He sees that the animal is too lean. May sin behema achrita dishmeina. I want to use a different animal, which is a fatter animal. Kedera nami. The same thing when it comes to spices. Oslam luchi. Dama nishbak hai kedera. The boy tavan. To say, I don't want to make this dish that needs this spice. I want a different dish that doesn't need spices or needs different spices. But by the meat grinder, by the meat chopper, there's no reason for him to change his mind. You're worried he's not going to chop the meat? Even the shachta, since we have a slaughtered animal in front of us, but fear come, you have to chop it up. You can't leave the animal as it is. So that's why Beshamai, even though normally he may be concerned that a person will change his mind, and therefore I shouldn't let him carry it because it's a tircha on Yontif, by the meat chopper I don't have to worry that he's going to change his mind. Beshamai ain't no sense or. Beshamai says you're not allowed to put the leather down for people to step on. Basil says you are. Vitana, but we learned in the Braisa, Beshavin, both Beshamai and Basil agree. Shemolchna la bosotzli. We know that when we have to extract blood from meat, we could do it in one of two ways. The traditional way is melicha, salting it. The other way is roasting it. So as Tysus explained, when we roast meat, we don't have to salt it. Any salt that's put on is just for taste. So not that much salt is put on. It says the Gemara that you can put on enough salt that you put on when you roast the meat. Amar Abaya, lo shana letzli. You're only allowed to put on enough salt that you put on for roasting. Avil gedera. But if the amount of salt that you put on when you cook it, that you have to do a full-fledged melicha, loy, that much salt is not acceptable. Ask the Mishnah, pshita, letzlitnan. The Mishnah says clearly, the brisa we just learned said only amount that you need for roasting. It says the Gemara, ha-kamashmon, the filo tzlika en kedera. Let's say you want to roast this meat, but you want to put on as much salt as they put on when they cook the meat, that much salt is awesome. And the way that we should explain, even though Beis Hillel in our Mishnah taught us that we are allowed to do something, kalach yad, not in a normal fashion, to work with the leather, Why? Because of Simchas Yontif. Otherwise, we're concerned that the person won't slaughter the meat on Yontif. Still, Beis Hillel wants to limit it as much as possible. And that's why we do the smaller shinui. It's a very important concept in halacha. We know that shinui, kalach yad, is mutter, but our Gemara here is teaching us that we want to limit that as much as possible. Tana abonim. Eim molchen es chalovim. We're not allowed to salt the fats. Veim mehapchim ba. We're not allowed to turn them over on animal that was slaughtered on Yontif. They could be put out on the pegs. Aramasna, halach krebi shua. The halach is krebi shua. Ikad amri, aramasna, and halach krebi shua. We don't pass on like krebi shua. Says the Gemara. Bishlam ilamanda ma halach krebi shua. The version that says that we hold like krebi shua, it's itzrich. I need to say it. Because sak about the chamina, yochad the rabbim, halach rabbim. Throughout halach, we know when we have one person against Rabbanon, we always go with Rabbanon. Kamash one. That's what we need to learn over here, that the halach is kiyach, that we pass on like Rabbi Yeshua. Ask the Gemara. El mandam ein halacha, that the halach is not like Rabbi Yeshua. What does he have to tell to us? Pshita. We have a rule all over. Yoch v'rabim, halach k'rabim. Answers the Gemara. Ma detaim mistabit tamid Rabbi Yeshua. We would think that even though Rabbi Yeshua is the single individual, what he said makes more sense. Dishloi sharaslei, because we should be concerned that if we will not let him spread out the fats, mimna v'loi shachet, the person won't shecht, and that will prevent them from having simchas yontif, it will prevent them from having meat available on yontif, kamash malon, that Rabbi Yeshua, we don't hold like that, and even though we are makel for simchas yontif, not this far. Ask the Gemara, my shnami olif ne'a darson. Why, by the leather in front of the people, we allow him to put it down, so they should not prevent him from shechting? And why don't we let him salt the fat? Answered the Gemara, Hassam le'muchem nilsa. When one puts down the hide in front of people walking, it's not obvious that he's doing it because he wants to work with the leather. Leather, as we explained in the previous year, was used as a mat. And people will say that it's that he's putting it down to use as a mat. Hacha, however, salting the fat, Oslameima, a person will say, my tam sharli rabbanon. People, why did Chazal allow me to salt the fat? Keich delay lusrich, in order that the meat shouldn't decompose, the fat should decompose. So the person will make the mistake and say, malil mishtachinu, I'm allowed to spread it out, and malil mishtachinu, I can even salt it. Now, salting the fat is a malacha deraisa. So since a person could come to make this very serious mistake, that's why we can't allow you even to spread out the fat. There's an interesting shaila. The Mishnah says, it's machlokes Ramah and Pri Chodesh. The Mishnah says that the leather could be put out. After you shecht the animal, you can put out the leather. People will trample on it. It's not obvious, we just learned. What's going to happen if you shecht the chicken and you have feathers? Can you gather the feathers together? The feathers have value. You could use it for a pillow. Can you gather the feathers together or not? So the Ramah is Mekel. Why is the Ramah Mekel? Because the Ramah says that if you're not going to let him gather the feathers, he's not going to shech the chicken, and it's a prevention of Simchas Yontif. The Pri Chodesh says the only thing that you're allowed to do is something that people will say that I'm doing it for a mutter digger purpose. I put out the leather because I want to use it as a mat. Gathering the feathers, there is no permitted use on Yontif, and therefore may not be done. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul. Now the Gemara continues with giving us different eitzes, different advice, how we could salt the meat on Yontif, even though he's only doing it to preserve the meat, and should be awesome. So Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul says, Moilach Adam Kamech Atich Sposu Basachas. He has a number of pieces of meat, he only needs one. But if he salts all of them at one time, even though he only needs one, that's permitted. He has a different approach. He takes one piece of meat, saying, I'm going to eat it, salts it. Then he says, you know what, I changed my mind, I don't want to eat this piece of meat, I'll take another one. And like that, he could salt a number of pieces of meat. Says Tosfos, all of this is only acceptable before he ate. But once you ate, so it's obvious that what you're doing is only for the sake of preserving the meat, which is not mutter on Yontif. There's a machlokes harishonim, how to understand this Gemara. Some rishonim learn that Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Ada are not really arguing. They're giving us different eitzes how to do it. He says salt a bunch at one time. He says do this harama. Other Rishonim learn that they're arguing. Each one doesn't agree the other one's approach. And there's a machlokes which approach is a kul and which is a chumra. Says the Mishnah. V'shama amrim, ein misalkin es treis miyontif, v'silim atirin af lahachsar. As we described in the previous year, their stores weren't like the shops that we have, that you actually enter the shop and go shopping. They used to have shutters in front of the stores. Then they opened the store, the shutter on Yontif. They opened the shutter every day, it has nothing to do with Yontif. Put it down and became like a platform on which they put the items from the store. And then at night they closed up the shutter. Says Beshamai, and we'll explain in the Gemara, that this is, according to Beshamai, consideration, opinion, and stira. You're not allowed to do it on Yontif. Beisilil says that you are. But there's another concern, as we described previously. How are you allowed to open your shutter and sell items on Yontif? You're not allowed to do business. So as the Gemara will explain, we're dealing here in a situation where the buyer and the seller have a relationship, and the seller and buyer will not talk about money. I, the seller, let you, the buyer, take whatever you need. And Matzah Shabbos, Matzah Yontif, we'll talk about the money. That's why there's no problem of Mekach or Memka. My tracing, ask the Gemara, Oma Ula Trace Chanuyus, the shutters in the stores that we just explained. Vama Ula. Shlosh Dvarim Hetiru Soifim Shum Tchilosim. There were three things that Chazal said you're allowed to do, because if we're not going to allow you to do it, you won't do even at the beginning, and the beginning is required. Veilein, all of Ne'adarsim. That's the previous Gemara. Chazal allowed us, Beis Hillel allowed us to put the leather down, to people trampling it, even though, as we learned, there is certainly a concern of Ma'abid, but Beis Hillel were concerned that we won't let you do it, you won't shech the meat, and you won't have Simchas Yontif, you need the meat. Treis HaChanuyos is the same that we just learned, that they allowed us to open up the store, even though there is an issue of binyan, but we want you to be able to have access to the items from the store. The Chazaris Ritiyah B'Migdash. The halach is that when a Kohen does the avoider, he's not allowed to have any bandage on his hands, because it's a chatzitza between his hand and the avoider. So now, if a Kohen has a bandage, we're concerned that if we're not going to let him put bandage back on, even though normally putting a bandage on, maybe shchika samamonim, maybe mamachik, it's usually osur, if it's not a chayil shesh besakana. In the Beis HaMikdash, we allowed him to do it. Otherwise, we're concerned that the Kohen won't want to do avoida. Again, hetiru soifon, we allow you to put the bandage on, b'shem tchilasin, otherwise we're afraid you won't want to do the avoida. Rechav Amar Yehuda, one more. Af ha-paisei chavitoi, o maschil b'sosoi, agav ha-regel, v'aliv Rabbi Yehuda dama yigmar. Which means as follows. We know, we encountered this concept many times in Shas, that Chazal treated Ame'oretz as Tomei. So if an Ame'oretz touches your produce, your food, your beverage, it becomes Tomei. Yontif, Chazal, so a person may be reluctant to allow an Ame'oretz to store. He may be reluctant, if he knows Ame'oretzim in the vicinity, to open up his produce. On Yontif, we treat everything as tohor, and even after Yontif, since he opened it on Yontif, even though Amaratzim touched it, we still consider it tohor after Yontif. Believe it or not, who did the Amar Yigmar? That after Yontif, even something which is touched by an Amaratz on Yontif, even after Yontif, keeps the tahara status. Says the Gemara, all of Nayadars and Tanina. We just learned in the previous Mishnah that Beis Hillel said, you're allowed to put the leather in front of the people that trample on it. What's the Braisa telling us that we didn't know? Answers the Gemara, the entire basis for Beis Hillel's psak is because it could be sat on. And therefore, I feel me'erev yontif nami, even if I shechted the animal erev yontif, where I had the opportunity to put the or li'ibut erev yontif. So maybe Beis Hillel should even allow us, under those circumstances, to put the or down on yontif. Kamash malon. Part of the basis for Beis Hillel's psak is because he tiru soifim shim tchilosim. We want you to do it, and if we won't allow you to put the leather down, you won't shecht. That's why the yontif in, only if you shecht it on yontif. So you had nothing, you couldn't do anything with the leather, with the hide before yontif. There was no hide before yontif. That's when Beis Hillel's meiko. The erev yontif, loy. on Erev Yontif, there you should have put down the leather before Yontif. You should have began working with the leather on Yontif, and you have no heter to work with it on Yontif. However, says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, let's say you shecht something right before Yontif. The Zman is 6 o'clock, and you shecht it before Yontif. So there we can't say that you should have taken care of the hide before Yontif. There was no more time. There, says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, they still will agree that the concept of a tirus soifin mishum techiloson applies, and you can put the leather down where it will be trampled kalachiyad by people. There's an interesting shaila. Tonight the Yehuda, the Magen Avraham, a lot of poskim can discuss this. Let's say the halach is, just to review a quick halach in Hilchas Malicha, the halach is that when you shecht an animal, you have to salt it within 72 hours. If you don't salt the meat within 72 hours, it becomes what's called oiver. It's too late. However, the Shulchan Aruch discusses a concept of washing the meat, shriya, that if you properly wash the meat before the 72 hours are up, the clock turns back, and you then start counting again another 72 hours. It's what's known as gevashna fleish. So now the shaila is like this. You slaughtered meat on Erev Yontif, or before Yontif. It's Yontif, and the clock is ticking. And if you don't wash this meat, it'll become oiver. Are you allowed to wash the meat on Yontif or not? So, if you learn the Gemara simple, that's the way the Magen Avraham explains. He says, Hatira Saif Mishtchlosin is only meat that was slaughtered on Yontif. Here it's not meat that was slaughtered on Yontif. It was meat that was slaughtered before Yontif. We're not allowed to handle the meat. The Noid of Yehuda disagrees. The Noid of Yehuda is Mekel, and most Paiskim are Mekel. Since the 72 hours did not come till Yontif, and he also says that Shri is not necessarily a Malacha, and that's why he says that if the 72 hours comes up on Yontif, certainly through a Goy, you're allowed to rely on it. The Paiskim also point out that this concept of Tiru Saif Mishum Tichlosun we could only use for the Rabbanon, not for the Raisa. To do a Malacha the Raisa because the Tiru Saif Mishum Tichlosun we can't. The question comes up like this. Let's say we know you're not allowed to shut a gas oven on Yontif. So now the question is, are you allowed to put on the gas oven, but you don't want to keep the gas on all night? You're nervous the gas shouldn't be on all night. Are you allowed to ask a guy to shut it? You're certainly not allowed to shut it, because that may be a malach deraisa. But asking a guy is a drabonim. Do we say, hetiru soifa mishum tchilosin, that will allow you to put on the gas oven, and then ask the guy to shut it, because we're concerned that if we won't allow you to ask a guy to put it on, then you won't cook on Yontif. It's a problem with Simchas Yontif. So some Paiskim are Mekel. They say it's the same concept as Tirus Sab Mishum Tchilosun with a Malacha de Rabbanon. Others say you should have created a system of having a fire on Yontif before Yontif, not get yourself into these questions, and therefore you're not allowed to do it. Next case was Treisa Chaniyus. The Braisa mentioned that opening these shutters is Mutter on Yontif. Says the Gemara, Namitinina, that's the Mishnah we just learned. Beisil Matirim Afla Hachser. Answers the Gemara, Madatem Tamayid Beisil Mishum Da'ein Binya Bekeil Vein Stir Bekeilim. What does Beisil allow us to open up and close the shutters? Because there's no Malacha involved. So therefore, I feel the bottom Nami. Not only the shutters of the store, that you want to get access to the food items in the store is Mutter, but even in your house you should be allowed to do it. Kamash Malon. The reason is because of Simchas Yontif, and that's why the Chanuya is in. Only the shutters of the stores where I can get access to the food that I need for Simchas Yontif, that's where Beis Hillel is Mekel, the Batim Loi. As the Gemara, Chazor Svetiba Migdash, Nami Tanina. The Loch that you're allowed to put the bandage back in the Beis Migdash, we also learn, because the Mishnah says, Nachzir Svetiba Migdash, in the Beis Migdash we're allowed to put it on, Avloi Medina. Answers the Gemara, Madatema, Tamamai, why did they allow us to put the bandage on? Mishum de beis shvus b'migdash. There's no concept of the rabbonins in the migdash. And therefore, I would perhaps say, afilu koyin de labra avoida, any koyin in the beis migdash that has a bandage, could put it, take it off and put it back on. Kamash malon, hetiru soif mishum de kilosim. The only reason we're allowed to do it is to encourage the koyin to do avoida. So that's why the bar avoida in, the koyin that's going to do avoida, for him we allow to put back the bandage, anyone else, la bar avoida loy. Ask the Gemara, Pesechas chavito namatanina, hapayesechas chavito imasal bisosa al gava rab regal, Rav Yudai me yigmar, Rav Huda says that you can treat that food as tar, v'cham oimim lo yigmar. So why do we have to say it? Isn't it an explicit Mishnah Masechta Chagiga? Answers the Gemara. Matatayim, Tumas Amaretz Ketar Shav Rabbanan. That Rabbanan treat every Damaratzim on Yontav as full-fledged Tahirim. And therefore, feel Lo Hischonami. Anything that they touched, even not a barrel that they started, not because we want to encourage you to be able to open it up, but anything that Damaretz touched should be Mutter, Kamash Malon. It's only because he tirus soif mishum tchlosan, and that's why only a barrel that was hischel in, only a barrel that was started, that barrel may be touched after yontif, loy hischeloy. Says the Gemara, v'ulam haitam lo yomar. Why didn't Ula include this case? V'ulam haitam lo yomar ha, says the Gemara, v'plukta loy kemairi. He doesn't want to mention anything that's open to dispute. And as we just said, this is machlokes of Yehudim Rabbanim, so he doesn't quote anything that is open to machlokes. Ask the Gemara, Hanach Nami Plukta Nenu. The previous three cases that Ula did list are a machlokes b'shami b'shilol, and you're saying that he's avoiding anything that's open to dispute. Says the Gemara, b'shami makom b'shilol ain't a mishnah. B'shami, it's since in halacha we always paskin like b'shilol, and like the Shas Chuvas Chavis Yoh says, because it was a baskoil that says we should paskin like b'shilol. So it's not pshat that there was a machlokes. B'shami doesn't count. It's only b'shilol's position that we count. Come, 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 come.